many people just don't understand the difference between the old law and the new law. Many have confused minds about who we are in the Church of Christ. They say, you folks don't believe in the Old Testament. Well, what do they mean by that? Y'all don't believe that that's binding today. Right, that is correct. We don't believe that that's binding today. But they don't understand why. And there's so many people who have this attitude that, you know, if you're just a good person and keep the Ten Commandments, that you will be saved. And it's a complete failure to understand the difference between the old law and the new law. I was reading on a website that was claiming that the Ten Commandments were not taken away. That the ceremonial law, the ritual cleansing laws and sacrificial law was taken away, but that the Ten Commandments were permanent. Well, here's the question I would ask. When were the Ten Commandments given? They were not given until Moses went up on Mount Sinai. What about all the people that came before the Ten Commandments were given? If the Ten Commandments were a permanent law, you would think they would have been enforced from the day of creation. But there is no record or indication of Ten Commandments preceding the giving of them on Mount Sinai. And so we're going to examine this a little bit this morning, because in our lesson I want to clarify a few things about the law of Moses and the law of grace in Christ. That's what I'd like to deal with for the next few minutes. Now, none of us wants to fully return to the law of Moses. Even those who claim the Ten Commandments still are not willing to fully return to the law of Moses, the Mosaic covenant, because there are some things in the Old Testament that they want to apply today, but not the whole thing. They do not want to bind circumcision. They do not want to bind all the ceremonial cleansing practices. And they certainly don't want to bind the forbidding to eat bacon or catfish, okay? And I'm not saying that flippantly. But bacon, the most perfect meat that was ever made, by the way, okay? Bacon and catfish, one of the finest fish that was ever made, were forbidden to the Jews. They were not allowed to eat these under the law of Moses. This was completely forbidden. Catfish have no scales, and bacon comes from pigs, and so there you go. They couldn't have that. So, but the people that would claim to believe that part of the old law is still binding today would not expect or claim to ban these other things. What they do want, some of them want Sabbath day worship. Some of them want the Ten Commandments. Some of them want instrumental music in worship. Some of them want the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, revenge law, still binding today. There are things that they want to go into the Old Testament law of Moses and find these things and bring them forward and say, we still want these today. Now, Paul, when he's addressing Timothy in the letter that was our text this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 1, one of the first problems he found was people wanting to blend the Old Testament law of Moses with the new law. And of course, Paul states that in verse 7 of 1 Timothy 1, that these people just don't know what they're talking about. It says, they desire to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. One of the worst things that can happen is for an uninformed person to stand up and preach, or to try to teach. An uninformed person, a person who does not know the law of God, who does not know the scriptures, does not need to be standing up and preaching or teaching. But yet there are so many who just expect people to believe whatever they say, and they don't even know what they're talking about. As Christians, we know we have been given a command of God to rightly divide the Word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The American Standard Version clarifies rightly divide this way. It says, handling aright the Word of God. Understanding the laws of interpretation. Understanding putting things in their context instead of ripping them out of their context. Understanding that difficult passages are there and you have to use simpler passages that are dealing with the exact same subject to help you understand the more difficult passages. Just basic laws of interpretation which we use every single day. But let's see, what does the gospel itself say about the law of Moses? Paul's remarks were referring to the glorious gospel of God which were given to him by God, 1 Timothy 1 verse 11. He and the other apostles had been given stewardship to proclaim the word of God, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but as God who tests our hearts. We do not seek to please men, we seek to please God, because it is God who tests our hearts. Then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 and 13, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So what we see, the Word of God in the New Testament claims to be from God, and it claims to be the new covenant from God. Well, we read this in the Old Testament too. Jeremiah, the prophet, says in Jeremiah 31, verse 31 through 33, that he says there's going to be two covenants. One excerpt from that: I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. I will make a new covenant with them. So there's a new one. If there's a new one, there has to be an old one. And the old one is going to be passing away. The Hebrew writer points out that a new covenant implies that the other one is old. And Hebrews 8:13, he says, a new covenant, or in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. The first covenant is obsolete. Now, what are these two covenants called? Well, generally, the first one is called the law. The law of Moses. What's going on, Ken? I don't want to sing that song again. The first one is referring to the law of Moses. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And Mark 16:15 refers to the new covenant as the gospel of Jesus Christ. How did the covenants get here? Well, the first one we see came by Moses, as we've already said, John 1:17, also Acts 7:38. That's why it's called the law of Moses, Acts 13, verse 39. But the gospel came by Jesus Christ, Hebrews 12, verse 24. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Now, sometimes the gospel is called the gospel of Christ. Sometimes it's called the law of Christ. All this I've said by way of introduction, I want to get now to the heart of the matter. When we talk about the gospel versus the law, what happened before the law? To whom was the law given? To whom was the gospel given? What was there before there was the law of Moses? The law of Moses was given to the Jews. It was given on Mount Sinai after the Jewish nation, numbering well over 2 million, had escaped over 400 years of Egyptian bondage. They have now come to Mount Sinai, this one race of people. How many people were on the earth at that time? We don't have a clue. But there were many millions, many, many, many multiplied millions of people on the earth at that time. And so here we are. We've got this group of about 2 million folks. Okay? Now that group grew as time went by, but there's only about 2 million of them out of the whole population of the earth. And there they are gathered around the base of Mount Sinai. Moses is up on the mountain. Now, who are these people? They are the descendants of Abraham. They are called the children of Israel. They are called the Hebrews. They are also later called the Jews. After the divided kingdom, 10 northern tribes, 2 southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And Benjamin was so small that everybody just referred to the land of Judea. So the king of Judah, the king of Samaria, which was the northern tribes. That's how they were referred to after the division. And so short for Judah is Jew. There you go. All right, now you know. Now you know. All right, you got your whole, got your historical background here. But before the law of Moses was given to this some 2 million people at Mount Sinai, what law existed? Before the Ten Commandments were etched on those tables of stone, what law existed? The same rule of law that God had governed the entire world with up until the time of Moses, that same rule of law existed even then. And that same rule of law existed for all the Gentile nations up until the time of the new law. It is sometimes referred to as the patriarchal law. Do we know the specifics, the particulars of that law? No. It is not revealed in Scripture. Who wrote the book of Genesis? Somebody just tell me. Some man tell me. Who wrote Genesis? Say it, Richard. Moses. Moses wrote Genesis. Exodus, Leviticus. In fact, the first 5 books of the Old Testament were written by Moses, who was the one who was the giver of the law. And God inspired Moses and allowed him to write the story of creation. But Moses was not there. Adam was there first. Eve was there. Cain and Abel, Seth, Enoch, and all the generations that followed. Up until the time of Noah, the same law that governed Adam governed Noah. And after Noah's flood took place, and Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their families, and they began to multiply and spread, then we come to the Tower of Babel. And it was the same law that governed Noah that governed the people at the Tower of Babel. The same law that governed Adam. The same law that governed all the way through into Egypt. And the children of Israel, the children of Israel in the land of Egypt were under that same law. Under that same law. While they're in Egypt, they're all governed by that same law. What are the particulars of that law? We don't know. But we do know, knowing God like we do, that God had told them, don't worship other gods, you worship me. We can be sure of that. There were animal sacrifices. We don't know the rules and regulations of them, but we know there were animal sacrifices. Cain and Abel and Noah and his family. So there were animal sacrifices that took place, but we don't know the details of it. Who offered the sacrifices and all of that? Melchizedek came along with Abraham. Melchizedek was the king of Salem. He was a priest of God and a prophet of God. Melchizedek was a servant of God. What was the law that Melchizedek was under? The same law that Abraham was under. The same law. And then Abraham's descendants live under that same law. With all the nations of the earth, all the families of the earth, still living under that same rule of law from God. We don't know what it was. It's not revealed in Scripture. And then up until the time of the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, the entire world was ruled by that same law of God. And now God has separated from the rest of the world His chosen people, the descendants of Abraham. They've been brought out, separated. God has built a fence around them. These are my people. And why? Because God was keeping His promise to Abraham, and it was through these people that His Son would come into the world. Through these, this nation of people, the Son of God would be born. Now the rest of the world out here, still living under that same law. But God says, now I'm going to give you guys a new law. And it became known as the law of Moses, because Moses was the one that was the lawgiver. He's the one that brought the law to the people that God delivered to him. And the first part of that law was the Ten Commandments. And God etched that on the tables of stone. There they were, the Ten Commandments. And that's all they had at first. But then Moses had to go back up the mountain, and God then began to tell him, and it was written on probably animal skins or papyrus, the paper, the early paper that was made from reeds in Egypt. They learned about that. So they very well had some papyrus with them. Or they definitely had animal skins, all those sacrifices. They had plenty of animal skins, okay? So the rest of the law is written on whatever medium they had to write with. They had ink that they had made from the stains of plants. And so they had that ink, and Moses wrote down all the particulars of the law. Circumcision on the eighth day. Aaron is the first high priest. The duties of the high priest. Then there's the planning of the tabernacle and how that building is going to be built. And then here are the duties of the high priest, and here's the sacrifices, and here are the feast days, and here are the fast days, and here's the laws of purity and the laws of ritual cleansing, and here's the laws that govern dealing with the foreign people that live within you. Here's the laws of raising your children. Here's the laws. 600 plus laws. 600 plus ordinances written down on either papyrus or animal skins or whatever medium that they had to write them on. There was one thing that was written on stone, the Ten Commandments. That was the only thing that was written on stone. Everything else is recorded on either animal skins or papyrus. All right? And so, but here we are, some 2 million strong out of the whole world, and the law is for them. And all these regulations about clean and unclean animals for them. And all this rule about the Sabbath for them. And everything about how they're to keep themselves pure and unspotted from the world. Not to marry with other races. That their crops are to be grown separately. Not to be, you can't grow beans and corn in the same field. See, we do that, don't we? Well, we'll grow, you know, we grow corn, early corn, let it grow, and then we plant beans after in between and let the beans run up on the corn. That's the way folks used to do it. They couldn't do that. And this is a blend. This is a blend of fabrics right here. This is that natural rayon. What animal does rayon come from? I don't know, some animal. but wool and cotton, you could not blend fabrics. You had to keep separate fabrics. It was all wool or it was all cotton. You could not put wool and cotton together in the same cloth. That was sin. That was unclean. And then when a woman had a baby, she was ritually unclean for a certain amount of time. And she had to go through this ritual washing. She had to live outside the camp during her monthly cycle. And live outside. If a man got leprosy, here's what he had to do. 600 plus laws and ordinances that were recorded. That they had to keep. But were those laws and ordinances binding upon the people in the land of Canaan? No. It was for the Jews. Everybody else is Gentile. Jews, Gentiles, the rest of the world. What are we today? Are we Jews or Gentiles? We are Gentiles. And Paul, bless his sweet heart, was the apostle that took the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, Peter did it first with Cornelius, but Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles. And, of course, Paul wrote more of the New Testament than any other apostle, than any other New Testament writer. But the message that we're trying to make very clear is that the law was made for the Israelites. Listen to Hebrews 9, verse 18 through 22. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself, the book itself, all the recording of all the laws, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise he sprinkled the blood with both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Of course, we know the gospel itself then was given to all nations, not just the Jews, but all nations. Now the Jews are the minority, and the rest, that's the rest of us. And the gospel was not for the Jews uniquely. It started with the Jews. Jesus says when the gospel is preached, you're going to begin right here in Jerusalem. You're going to go to Judea. You're going to include Samaria. And then you're going to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. All nations. As the prophecy of Daniel says about the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, all nations of the earth shall flow into it. This kingdom, this new kingdom that Daniel is writing about. And so what we have here is Old Testament prophecy of a new covenant. And then we have the coming of that covenant with Jesus. This gospel that has gone to every creature under heaven, according to Colossians 1, verse 23. Jews and Gentiles alike. Now, why two covenants? Well, that's kind of difficult. The law was given to bring people to Christ. It was also given to bring Christ to the people. The Jews are the ones that received that law, and the law was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, as Galatians 3, 21 through 25 says. But the law had a problem. It depended on people to keep it. And people are going to let you down. People are going to make mistakes. People are going to mess up. So the people didn't keep the law perfectly, so the law had a flaw. You know what the flaw was? People. There's nothing wrong with the law, but people were weak. And because people were weak, the law could not save anybody. Because law requires law keeping. And if you mess up, if you sin one time under the law of Moses, that sin would never go away. There would be a remembrance of sin every year. There's continual sacrifices that have to be made, but that sin is still there in your future. It's there. It's not going away. But the blood of Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice of God, finished the law, fulfilled the law. The law had served its purpose. There was one perfect man who kept the law, who did exactly what the law required. Jesus did it, so the law had served its purpose, and he replaced it. He took away the first that he may establish the second. And we're talking about the law of Christ, the perfect law of liberty, the law of grace, the gospel, the good news of salvation. And that is what we live under. That's the rules and regulations by which we live. Well, what about the Old Testament? All right, the Old Testament was written by Jews, for Jews, but the principles and examples of wisdom, of human tendencies, of the nature of God, the wisdom language of the Old Testament is still something that benefits and blesses us. Furthermore, the New Testament declares that the things that were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of those same scriptures, might have hope. Look at how God dealt with man. God will deal with us. God was there then. God is here now. The gospel itself is more glorious. Now, time will not permit me to read all this, but I want to read you a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to notice a couple of verses. Go ahead and turn over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to share with you a couple of verses about the law of Moses being done away. And there are those that claim, like I said at the beginning, that the Ten Commandments are still here, but the rest of the law, the 600 plus ordinances, have been finished and fulfilled and done away, abolished, whatever you want to call it. That Jesus met the demands of that. He was perfect in every way. Met those demands. The law is satisfied. And now Jesus has given us a new law. But the Ten Commandments still remain. That's what many claim. Well, I want you to notice something. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 6, It's referring to the fact that God has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It's a contrast between the law of Moses and the law of Christ. Verse 7. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones. Did you see that? If the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadily look at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. If the law which was written on stones was glorious, and that glory is passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So the contrast is between the ministry of the Spirit versus that which was engraved on stones. What was engraved on stone? Only the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were engraved on stone. Everything else is referred to as a book or as the scrolls, but it's not stone. We need to understand that. And if people would see this, then they would understand that the Ten Commandments have also been taken away along with the ceremonial ritual cleansing law, which was binding on the Jews. All right? For verse 11. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. What was passing away? That which was written and engraved on stones is passing away. And the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ, the gospel, the perfect law of liberty, that remains to this day. But it says later on in this passage that there's a veil that remains over the heart, over the eyes of the people. When they read the law of Moses, they still think it's binding today. And they still want to keep parts of it today. Now, somebody once made this statement. Christians keep 9 of the 10 commandments. Is that true? Now, the claim that Jesus and the apostles brought 9 of the 10 commandments into the Christian law, in principle, that may be true. But brethren, understand this. None of the 10 commandments are binding today on anyone, not even the Jews. Why? Because the law for the Jews, and that was the law of Moses, was for the Jews. The law for the Jews has been replaced with the gospel of Christ. In Galatians 5, 1 through 6, Paul declared that anyone who would try to keep any part of the law of Moses is bound to keep the whole law. So if one would try to go to the book of Psalms, say, to justify instrumental music, they must also follow the dietary laws and keep the Sabbath day. They have to keep the whole law. If they're going to try to go back to the old law, number one, they have fallen from grace. That's what Paul says in Galatians. And number two, they're required to keep the whole law. You can't just have, eye for an eye on all these old westerns, you know. I like old westerns. On all these old westerns. The old preacher man, you know. Well, it's an eye for an eye. Get him, boys. You know. Well, you can't have part of it if you're not going to take all of it. It just works that way. By the way, I did that voice for you old timers that like those old westerns, okay? That was for y'all. But the thing that I want you to understand is the law was for the Jews, only for the Jews, for no one but the Jews. And so it's wrong for us to say we are no longer under the Ten Commandments. It's wrong for us to say we're no longer under the law of Moses. It's wrong for us to say that. Why? We were never under the law of Moses. We were never under the Ten Commandments. We are Gentiles. And the law was only for the Jews. Only for the Jews. It included the proselytes, the strangers from other lands that lived among the Jews. If they were going to live among the Jews, they were going to obey the laws of the Jews. Let me tell you something. If you go to a Muslim country today where Sharia law is in force, guess what law you're going to live by? What law? Sharia law. Yeah. And if you don't, they're going to kill you or put you in prison or, in the best case scenario, throw you out of their country. The Jews, anybody that wanted to live with them, was still bound to keep the law of Moses. That was the rule. But it was never intended to be a law to govern the whole world. And the Ten Commandments were never intended to be a law that would govern every person that lives. They were only commanded for the Jews, and they were never commanded for Gentile Christians. Hebrews 10, 1 through 4, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. The law could not make those who approach perfect because they had sinned. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, these offerings. If they had made them perfect, they would have continued to be offered, but they have ceased. For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin, but in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Verse 9 of Hebrews 10. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. So I repeat, the Jews are no longer under the law of Moses. And we as Gentiles were never under the law of Moses. We were never under the Ten Commandments. We are under the law of Christ, the perfect law of liberty, the new covenant. The gospel was intended to be taught to all nations of the earth, and that all nations of the earth would flow into the kingdom of God, such as would believe in Jesus, repent of their sins, confess their faith in Christ, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of their sins. They would flow into that new kingdom and be governed by that new covenant with God. And heaven would become their home if they would remain faithful. This was God's plan for the world. And Jesus coming to the earth finished the need for the old law of Moses for the Jews, and united the Jews and the Gentiles into one people again with the rest of the world. They were separated from the world when Moses took them out of Egypt. And when they gave them the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, and the 600 plus ordinances, they were separated from the world. And they continued in that separation for some 1,500 years until Jesus came and broke down that wall of partition that separated men from each other and allowed all nations of the earth to come back together as one, united by Christ, united by the gospel, united in our desire to go to heaven and the means by which we could go, and that is through Jesus Christ. Ten Commandments do not apply. They do not apply. Sabbath law does not apply. Law of circumcision, law of dietary rules and regulations do not apply. We are governed by what Jesus said and what the apostles said in the New Testament, and we'll recognize that when Jesus comes again, He will take vengeance upon those that are ignorant and those that are disobedient, according to 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. And in Acts 17, 30 and 31, we understand that all men everywhere, Jew and Gentile alike, are commanded to repent, turn away from your sin, and come to Jesus for salvation. That's the hope that the world has. It's not by keeping the Ten Commandments or any part of the law of Moses. And those that would try to go back to the law of Moses to justify what they want to do and practice in religion are not understanding the difference between the law of Moses and the gospel of Jesus. You will not find salvation in the Old Testament. You will not find it. You will find wonderful things. You will find many wise statements. You will find wisdom to help you live your life. But you will not find the commandments of God that apply to us today in the Old Testament. You will find those only in the New. And that is what we are governed by. And that is what we will be judged by. So my advice and encouragement to you today is make up your mind. Learn the Old Testament, but live by the New Testament. Follow Jesus. If you're not a Christian, what better time than right now to obey the gospel? You've heard what you must do. I encourage you to do it. If you've already done that, but you've not been faithful to your Lord, I want to encourage you to rededicate your life to Him today. If there's a way we can help you, without delay, we encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.